heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
This conversation of racism and what you're seeing really throughout the nation, many people that are not truly paying attention believe this is something about race that came out of Minneapolis, the Floyd movement, if you will. But people, it's far more than that what's happening here. So we've been seeing this build now for some time, and you think back to Charlottesville, and you go back even before then, back to really go all the way back to Ferguson. And you can go back to the 60s as well, really. But what we're talking about today is really an anti-Americanism movement. That's what you're looking at, people. It's an anti-Americanism movement. Now, I'm going to prove it today to you, and I want you to pay attention, and because I think we'll uncover a few things between all of us here and figure out exactly what's taking place here. You know, in order to fix the problem, we got to understand the problem. Remember that first and foremost. It's one thing to run around with our heads on fire, people, as everybody is doing these days, but there's always a bigger narrative going on here, and there's things happening just beyond the headlines and the sound bites that really nobody is talking about or paying attention to. So you have a movement here that's happening. It really is a worldwide movement, and people are being used. They're being manipulated, really, is the right word. You've got all of these factions now coming together, these groups, and they're creating a chaotic moment in America's history. You know, it's funny. Last year when we were talking, I was telling you we were living in historical times and telling you through the Trump presidency, never thinking all of this would happen with COVID and the civil unrest and all of this. And now I can say to you, boy, was I right? But I didn't think it would be this bad, people, that it would be this historical. And yet here we are, right? You know, here we are. And so we're seeing this uprising now, and it's not just in the big cities. Sure, you're seeing it in New York, and, you know, you see that they defunded the police up there successfully. De Blasio, boy, he'll go down in history, talking about a history putz, huh? They defunded it about $1 billion, just a small pocket change, really. And so, and of course, the crowd of the people, the rebels were happy out there. They were painting the police cameras that are up high where you climb up, and they were painting them and being funny about it and all, like they had some big victory. And of course, they have a lot of other demands as well, as they have in Portland and Seattle, and all of these radical people and groups have their own demands. But New York now is going to really be in, and this is going to be a moment for the country, because we're going to start seeing this defund movement. Some of them are abolishing the police entirely, but you're going to start seeing this defund movement. It's taken a movement and wings on its own here. And there's going to be a price to pay for this. I mean, don't think for a moment that all this is just going to go by and nobody's going to think anything of it, because I got news for you. We're already seeing the early beginnings of crime skyrocketing in New York. And of course, it's been skyrocketing for some time in Chicago, when, you know, the sad thing about Chicago is the black on black crime there, nobody ever talks about. And it's sick what they're doing there. It's almost as bad as abortion and killing people in that regard. But there's no sanctity of human life anywhere anymore, is there now, you know, really? And then when one person dies from some means that it shouldn't be, because you had a bonehead officer do something, right away the sky is falling. I mean, figure that out, people, will you? I mean, think about that. That one life created all that havoc and all the deaths that ensued since then. Take Seattle. All the people that have died in that Chaz zone there. And yet, and the mayor condoned it, and the officials condoned it. Everything was good, the summer of love, as they're all being shot and killed. But yet none of those lives really mattered, did they? None of the other lives matter, but just that one life that was caught on camera, that one moment mattered. But nothing else mattered. Yeah, I mean, figure that out now, right? There is no common sense to that, because The purpose of this is not that movement. It's not that incident in Minneapolis. It's not racism. None of that is what's happening here. You've got people that are seizing the moment. We're speaking, when I say people, I'm talking about Marxists, fascists. I'm talking about leftists, national socialists. This is what I'm talking about, yeah? These are anarchists. That's what we're talking about. They're defacing, they're tearing down monuments, statues. They're destroying things every chance they can, you know? And so I want you to understand that all of this is not spontaneous and it's not accidental and it is organized. And we know that because you can follow the money trails on this stuff and see what's really happening here. So it really is it's a systemic anti-Americanism movement. That's what it is. And that's what's happening. So let's frame the conversation up front here properly. It's got nothing to do with Minneapolis or that Floyd incident whatsoever. It's an anti-Americanism movement. It's been building for some time. It's been waiting for just the right opportunity to spark and to unleash the forces. Now, the problem with all that is this. So then you think, okay, so there's a motive here. There's the motive right there. People who hate America. Now, the problem with that, people, is, again, when you look at our political aisles, there are people in our government and there are others in our bureaucracy, really, that also hate America. And I don't mean the America that they envision. I'm talking about the America that we love. You know, that you see the difference here? There are a couple of different Americas here. See? Okay. And they want to make America into something entirely different. So that's what we're faced with. And the problem is these people, you know, again, what have we been talking about over the last many years? You know, all government is always local. And the closer the government is to you, the more impact it's going to have on your life. So although we always point fingers at Washington, D.C., they don't have all the answers. And that's not the government that's going to have the biggest impact probably on your life. More than likely, it's going to be the governor, the mayor, it's going to be the city or county council, right? Those people, or could even be your homeowners association, quite frankly. And I've told you that before, and I'm not kidding when I say it, because I've seen it with my own eyes. You get these people in there that think that they are the authority and that they're going to, you know, wave their power around and screw up your life. Or in their version of it is to make your life better. But by what standards, right? The standards of the America they see and that they want. No, thank you very much. Not looking for that America. You see, their America has a K in it. It's spelt with a K. See, that's their America. Our America is not spelt with a K. Ours has a C, you see? There's a big difference here, people. And that's what we're seeing now with this anti-Americanism movement here. But here's what I've really caught on to now. A lot of these mayors, like the Seattle mayor and so many other mayors, I mean, again, local governments, a lot of them are run by Democrat leftists. Now, and I know it's hard to have this conversation without making it political. And, you know, I'll apologize in advance to our friends on the left, or my objective isn't to alienate or isolate the moderates and the independents, it's to invite them in here. As I tell you all the time. So, you know, but the truth can hurt, and it certainly can be powerful as well, people, but it's good to be informed. A lot of these local establishments, local mayors, local politicians happen to be Democrats. Not all, it's not exclusive, but a lot of them are. And you see the problem we're having in our great American cities, which I've been talking to you about for years now. Well, it is a socialist movement. Now, remember, I'm not talking about the Democrat Party that we used to, you know, have little disputes with and that we sort of kind of love, sort of like a brother and sister love. You know what I mean? It's a brother and sister. That's kind of how I looked at it back then in the day with Democrats and Republicans. You know, we dispute a little bit. You know, we'd have some fun with each other. We tell each other who's right, who's wrong. But at the end of the day, we come together because we love the country. You see, we'd go out for a drink or shoot the shit or whatever it is, right? I mean, we all have friends that are on the left, and we love those people, right? I mean, come on. Probably not the lunatics, probably a little bit less you love, I'm sure. But you know what I'm talking about here. It's like a brotherly and sisterly love. That's what it used to be with the two political parties. And you could have a conversation. You know, I think back, what comes to my memory all the time when I say this kind of thing, it brings me back to Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill and Newt Gingrich, for that matter, you know, in that era there. You know, there was at least a respect. I mean, they didn't have the same ideology and the same politics. All right. And they would dispute and try to one-up each other all the time. All right. Well, they were different political parties and different passions. But friends, they came together. They had a drink at the end of the day, and they moved on with the agenda of America. And I think both of those parties used to see a C in there. I don't think it was a K. But everything's changed, people. And so you've got all of these now, these local. Now, some of the mayors, I know a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans, they say all of them are Marxists and these local, and they act like it sometimes for sure, local leaderships who control. And we've seen all that through the COVID. Remember, all of these empowered government officials, they kind of become empowered and little dictators are us. And they're out bossing your life around what you do, what you won't do, how you're going to do this or that. And quite frankly, a lot of us who, you know, have, again, love the America with the C in it. Well, we don't like that. See, we're not liking that program. And that would be me included. Probably a lot of you listen as well. And we stand up. We say, no, we don't want to follow you. We're not. This is not the kind of country we're living in. You're not going to tell us what kind of a life to live. Get the hell out of here. Not going to happen. Then you have to ask yourself, like this screwball from Seattle there, okay? You have to begin to ask yourself, well, do they all kind of Do they really hate America? Are they anti-Americanism? Are they part of that systemic movement? Well, some are. Some have their America has a K in it. So some are. But some of them, here's the point I want to make with you. Some of them, and I think a good piece of the pie, I don't know what the percentage is, but a good percentage of them are just, I can't really say this politely, forgive me, but it's kind of hard to say it politely, but I just think they're stupid. Yeah, I think there's a percent of them that have I don't think they have a high IQ. So I don't think they're part of that. I think some of them are, but I think some of them are just stupid. And the power has probably gone to their head. They don't even know that they're being used, that they're being manipulated. You see, I don't even think they know what side of the bed they're getting up in the morning with. I really believe that. And I think the Seattle one would be like that. I think she's just a big doofus. I don't think she is. My guess is she's not I could be wrong, but I don't think she's a Marxist specifically. I think she has socialist tendencies for sure. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, her name, I forgot it a moment, but it's Jenny Durkin. You could come up with a lot of adjectives to fill that one in as well. But you get the point of what, there's a lot of Jenny Durkins out there. And I just don't think their elevator goes all the way up. I don't think the IQ is there. So they're being manipulated and they're being systematically used in this movement. The ones who have the IQs, these Marxists and these fascists, these other groups. Now, these people are very smart and they know how to manipulate everything. And they manipulate Jenny Durkins all day long. I mean, will Seattle ever be the same again? I don't think so. It's just what they're going to do to New York next, right? That's what they're going to do right there. And what they're going to do in a lot of all these other cities and markets here. You know, and I just talked to you yesterday about what they did in Charleston, South Carolina. Again, it doesn't have to be a big city, people. This stuff is happening everywhere. And it's coming to a city or town near you. So don't get so smug with yourself that you think you live in an area that nobody gives a damn about. Because that's where it's going to happen. It's going to happen in middle America when you least expect it. I've been telling you that for a long time here. So we're looking at, again, systemic anti-Americanism. It's a movement. It's various groups that have met up now. They're seizing the moment. And they're happy to tear down everything. They don't give a rat's ass of who created the Emancipation Proclamation. They could care less about Abraham Lincoln. They don't. I mean, the fact that he freed the slaves, so what? Because this has nothing to do with race. He represents America. Did I make my point yet? And there's a whole lot more of those. This has nothing to do with Confederate statues at this point, you know? I mean, they're taking down everything. There's nothing sacred in the nation. But again, and we've seen this before with these totalitarian regimes and governments. They strip down the history. They basically bitch slap the country to death, and they tear all that apart. And that's really what happens. There's phases here. The first phase, it's disinflammation. Throw out as much disinflammation as you can. Then you get disillusion. You screw everybody up. They don't know what's going on, which is where we're at. And then chaos, which is really where we're at. And you know what happens at that point? Here's the sad news for you people. It becomes the new normal. That's your new normal right there. It's the normalization of America. And then it becomes just another day. It's normal. The anti-Americanism movement is just another day. You have to go on with your life because you've got other problems to deal with. I mean, you can't sit on this one problem forever. I mean, it's been going on for months and months already, combined with COVID. And now you've got the country in a spasm, bent over, asking for mercy. As an election's coming down the pike and the Marxists say, oh man, OMG, I think we got him. We got that Trump fellow to say uncle soon. And we could put nasty Joe Uncle Biden in there, see what he can do for us, because he can be manipulated like a puppet, you see. So have I drawn out a pretty picture yet? Do you get the point of where we're at? Yeah, so that's the anti-Americanism movement that's taking place in America. We're beyond a historical moment of time. This is more of a get your head out of your ass moment of time, you see, is where we're at now. So on that note, keep it right there, people, and we'll be back with Alana Friedman, and we'll pick that up in just a moment.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
This has nothing to do with racism, not a darn thing. They just will take any conversation they can and move it forward to accomplish the objectives here. And, you know, they do that with words, too, like white privilege, you know, the elite rich, the disenfranchised. That's a lot of stuff, too. You know, that's where that all comes in, the white supremacy. All of that also fits that whole narrative. And what they've done, the left has done, is they branded that all together with the Confederates and the country's, you know, a mess. And anyways, that's kind of where we're at here. So let me bring on Ilana Friedman. And Ilana is a veteran intelligence analyst. She's a political commentator, a great mind, and a host here at America Out Loud, the news magazine, The Friedman Report. She always speaks from her heart and passionately informed. So, Ilana, you heard the opening remarks I talk about with this being an anti-Americanism movement. And I think the vast majority of people that I am seeing in our wheelhouse and in others are grossly misinformed. But I think what's happened is, my point I want to start with is, a lot of these leftist mayors and leftist politicians on the local levels, I think a good part of them are ignorant and stupid, I said. The other part are part of that bigger movement. But I think what's happened is the movement itself has totally been hijacked by these well-funded by these people, these radical groups, and they've done it masterfully. They've done it over time, but masterfully, to wait for the spark, which was the Floyd Minneapolis incident, and now they want to defund our police. Crime has already skyrocketed in all our cities, and let's do some basic math here. So, okay, so if we start taking millions and billions from the police department, somehow the criminals are going to do less. What am I missing, Ilana?
You're not missing anything. It's ridiculous. In fact, it's beyond stupid. I don't think the movement has been hijacked. I think it was designed originally to be framed as a movement to help Black people who are now have been subjugated and have been enslaved, first enslaved and then demeaned and humiliated and suppressed, so that they weren't able to reach their potential. But the problem that I see is that this movement started and was funded before Ferguson. So that goes back several years. Black Lives Matter has been around for a while, but I think it was created by the people who are now funding these demonstrations. And we're talking about a lot of funding. We're talking about, for example, the Ford Foundation, which has pledged $100 million to the Black Lives Movement. And you're talking about George Soros and his Open Foundations. And they have pledged $300 million. And then we're talking about an organization called Workers World. Now, what does that sound like to you? Do you remember Workers of the World United? That was the mantra of the Marxists under in the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And they said that they were going to unite and elevate the workers, and instead they enslaved them. And that's what happens with Marxism and socialism and all of these other movements which have been incorporated into into the programs of these people.
It's funny because, like I said, I had this conversation the other day with somebody. I don't ever use the word progressive to describe the Socialist Democrat Party. And they're the same thing as Black Lives Matter. They obviously don't believe Black Lives Matter, and they're obviously not progressive. But what they're really good at is using the English language against the American people. And they use it effectively. So whatever they tell you they are, or whatever the movement is what they're not. And it's all trickery. What it is it's fancy marketing. And they are brilliant marketers, and haven't been a marketer all my life. I mean, I see the marketing they're doing. I mean, they'd win all kinds of awards for this, Ilana. I want to harp back to something you said here a moment ago that I want to clarify, because you got my attention. When you mentioned that it was well organized, and it was the movement itself didn't just happen, that it goes back. Let me ask you, I think you were talking about the Floyd incident, that it wasn't hijacked. That's what you said. It wasn't hijacked.
That wasn't what I meant. What I meant was that the Black Lives Matter movement wasn't hijacked. Created by the people who are now organizing demonstrations and riots.
Yeah, I think we miscommunicated that. No, I'm not suggesting differently.
Sorry about that.
That's important.
Okay.
I want listeners to know what we're talking about here, because it's important, because I thought you were speaking about the Floyd incident. And let me say to you, I got the feeling, or I had a moment that I thought you knew something I did not know about Floyd. I mean, Floyd was just a boneheaded. I mean, listen, I've heard reports, and I want to use the word conspiracy here because I don't know, that was all a setup. They got videos and pictures circulating about that too, Ilana, that kind of say that really didn't happen, or it was something different. But I don't have any information to that point. Do you?
No, I have none. I accept that happened. But I think that this was something, this uprising that we're seeing now is something that was being planned for quite a long time. And they were waiting for a trigger. And it happened,
exactly.
In my opinion, it happened that George Floyd's murder or killing,
I think it was
murder because I think it was intentional. But that was a trigger for something that had been planned for a very long time.
Right.
And the same thing, by the way, was true in Ferguson. And that was what I referred to before, not George Floyd. I referred to Ferguson, which was several years ago.
It was August 2014 with Michael Brown and the whole hands up, don't shoot, and that whole movement. But I think the main thing is here that Americans need to understand that these things are not happening in silos. They are organized and somewhat put together. And I think the common theme that I pointed out in the monologue is an anti-America movement. Do you agree with that?
I agree completely. That is being framed as a movement to sort of liberate blacks and give them their equal rights and so forth. But in reality, this has nothing to do with race. This has to do with power, and what is going on is an attempt to basically destroy America as we know it, to destroy our democracy, to destroy our freedoms, and to supplant it with a socialist infrastructure that will destroy everything that we believe in.
Now, does everybody hear what Ilana says there? Because it's so powerful what she just said. And you see, that plays that narrative, Ilana, into what I said in the opening remarks, which was this, and see if you agree with this. The plan has to be, you get all the disinformation out there you can. Then you disillusion people and you create chaos. And then that becomes the new normal in America.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we really need not to overlook is the fact that this has been going on for a long time in our schools, where we have been dumbing down our kids and teaching them that all they have to do is show up. They don't have to compete, and that in fact competition is bad, and that everybody is on an equal playing field, and that they don't have to learn the things that we always learned in school, which was how to think critically. That was behind everything that we did. It was we learned history, we learned grammar, we learned literature, we learned how the great minds in history have thought and have put their thoughts into writing or into deeds. And these are the things that we learned that our kids are no longer learning. One of the most important things that we have done in the last two or three generations, in the last two or three decades anyway, has been to allow our children to be dumbed down to the extent that they can no longer think critically, that they soak up all of this garbage that they're being fed, that socialism is wonderful and it will give you all these wonderful things, free phones and free cars and free homes, and in the end, what it will really do will be to enslave them.
You see, what's happening here is a lot of these things are connected, Ilana, is what you're saying, which is so smart for people to understand, because what they've tried to do, what I have found over the last couple of election cycles, Ilana, is they're making this socialism sort of warm and fuzzy, aren't they?
Yes, they are, for sure.
And they're trying to get, all, as you just say, all of these kids now who believe this whole Generation Z, the Zoomers we're speaking about, there's the vast majority, not all now, but the vast majority of those people, I mean, a large percentage of people, I don't know what the number is, but I would not be surprised at all to see it around 80%. Now that's, I say that to you, this is me speaking now, and that's a striking number, Ilana. What do you think the percentage is of Zoomers that are indoctrinated into this belief system?
Well, I think it's high. I don't know what the number would be, but I think it's very high because this is how they were schooled. And the kids who come out of their teens who have been homeschooled, for example, many of them, most of them, all of them that I've met in my, you know, in my career have all been bright and intellectually curious. And they don't suffer from this malaise that the public school kids has been imposed on them, which is that they don't have to think critically. They don't have to make these decisions. They all have to do is soak up what people tell them, and that'll be okay, you know, and it's not okay. All they have to do is show up, and that's not okay either.
Yeah.
But that's what they were taught.
That's right. That's right. So a lot of this is connected, people, is what we're pointing out. I mean, there's an immediate takeaway here I want you to understand, and that is the connection of all this. And the great thing about having Ilana on with us is she helps weave the story. When we look at this through a different prism, really a historical prism as well to understand, okay, what are we really dealing with here? So what's happening is here is you have a few bad seeds, a few bad apples, if you will, and they have pushed it on the others, which is kind of where I was going up front when I talked about the people who maybe their elevator doesn't go all the way up or whatever. I know that doesn't always sound nice, but they're not the brightest people in the conversation. We've all seen those people. We've networked with them and other stuff. I mean, come on, people. You know what I'm talking about here. And those people, and I think some of those are in power positions, and they shouldn't be, clearly. I mean, they shouldn't be in those positions, like this crazy mayor, Mayor Jenny Durkan. I mean, she looks like a nice mom, like a Leave It to Beaver mom, but she's got no brains, clearly. She shouldn't be running any city, let alone Seattle. I mean, you don't do what she just did out there. Come on. And we're starting to see that everywhere. But you see, now, if we're going to solve the problem here, what we've got to do is we've got to get into solutions and ideas. I mean, it's one thing to get on here and just complain and gripe all day long, as a lot of Republicans love to do, just as much as the left. I find the right likes to do a lot of the same stuff. It's a political system, and the apparatus is what it is. We're at each other's throats. Like I said earlier, we used to be like brotherly and sisterly love. Now we're like axe murderers toward each other. On social media, it's like, I hate you, you hate me, I hate you, and you're this. And then we get really ugly, and I just don't see the point of that. I don't have to agree with people, but I also don't have to answer them back. See? It's real simple. I tend to tune out all those people. I don't give them the time of the day. I'd like to encourage you out there to do the same thing, you know? And we're gonna bring on more and more people to understand the value of America with a C. Well, that's what we've got to do here with all of us here. Now, Ilana mentions education there. One of the things I want to tell you about, it just came to my mind. We have a brand new program that'll be launched here right the first week of August on America Out Loud Talk Radio. And it will be, and when I say that, that means it'll be available on talk radio. It'll go to podcast. It'll be on the platform. And it's about education. It's from a retired teacher, a dean, a very smart woman. It's called The Prism of America's Education. The Prism of America's Education. It's going to be a really great show to try to do what Ilana just said, to right the wrongs, to get back to informing people. So the point here is we're on the move here, trying to look out for America and trying to do what's right here. But the thing I want to ask you is to help us along the way. And we need you out there to help us by going to AmericaOutloud.com. And you'll notice our America there has the C in it. That's a beautiful thing there. And you got to help me by and help us and help our nation out and help liberty out, because the liberty, after all, people, is what? Well, it's freedom with responsibility, right? So let's make that matter. Let's make that count. So if you go, please, to the front page, what I call the front page, it's like our 6 o'clock news. It changes throughout the day at AmericaOutloud.com. And take a look at the stories there and share the stories. Read them, first of all. Educate yourself. Tell your friends to do it as well. But please share them out there on all the socialist social media sites, because that's who owns it all. So you got to put it out on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and Gab, Pollard. There are some conservative ones that are coming along, but it's going to take some time, because the right was sleeping when the left decided they were going to dominate society and our educational culture as well. They were fast asleep. But that's another fairy tale for another day, isn't it? So anyways, get to AmericaOutloud.com. Help us preach the gospel truth. The out loud truth is what we call it, out to the masses, please, and let people know what's going on. But I think this educational point Ilana brings up is a very, very vitally important point here. We're going to take a quick pause here, friends. We'll be back with more Voice of a Nation and Ilana Friedman in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, as we celebrate our 4-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are talking to you today about this anti-Americanism movement. It's a systemic, really. It's a whole system to this thing, people. This is nothing as accidental here as Ilana has been talking about. And as I've been telling you here, there's a system to all of this that's happening right now to bring our country down and again, put a K in it. Imagine looking out your window one morning when you're at your kitchen sink and you look across the park or the next building or whatever it is you see when you look out your window. And imagine seeing a red flag there, bright socialist red with a K, America with a K in it. And maybe you got a sickle there and a hatchet, or maybe it's a, I don't know, but what the hell it is, Ilana. Maybe who knows what's on that flag. But imagine that kind of an America with a K. Scares the hell out of me. What about you, Ilana?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't want to see it, and I think it's where we're coming to a crossroads, and we have to make a very serious decision about what kind of a country we want to be, and a country that is where the streets are full of anarchy, where there are riots, where the cities want to defund the police department. I mean, how stupid can you be if there are no police? Then there is no law and order, and it will be anarchy. It will be, everybody will be in danger, not just the police, but everybody who walks those streets will be in danger. Why do we want a country like that? And I think the answer is we don't. It's people who have other agendas, and it's not the people that you see on the street who are marching and chanting and having, you know, waving flags. It's the people that are breaking into houses. It's the people who are knocking over old ladies and old men just for the fun of it. These things are going on. New York City has the highest crime rate I think it's had in decades.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what's going on there, and the mayor just cut $1 billion from the police department's budget. He's got to put it into social programs. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. But I am so passionate about it, I guess you can hear it. I am so angry about it. And I think that it is high time that we get up and start fighting back. And which reminds me about that couple in St. Louis the other day, who came out of their house when they saw a mob approaching it and came out with their guns. I like the idea that people are willing to defend themselves and arm themselves in order to protect themselves and their property. I do have a couple of comments about how they handle their guns, but that's another story.
She was waving it around like a Frisbee there. The woman was waving it like the gun there. It was weird.
And he was pointing it at everybody. I don't even know if he had his finger on the trigger, but there are four rules of safety that you learn before you ever get to shoot a gun when you're trained properly.
Tell people what they are.
The first one is always consider that gun is loaded. Whether you know it is or not, you have to treat it like it's a loaded weapon. And the second one is you don't ever pull the trigger unless you intend to destroy what you're pointing at. Don't point at anything unless you want to destroy, unless you intend to destroy it. That's the second thing. And he was pointing, I think he pointed it at his wife. He probably pointed it at his neighbor. He was just waving that thing around. It was an AR-15. No joke. The third one is, don't pull the trigger until you have decided to, and you know that you want to destroy whatever you're pointing to, and then you don't put your finger in the trigger until you have made the decision to shoot.
Sure, sure.
And these are things that and then the fourth one is know not only what your target is, but what's behind your target, so that you don't inadvertently shoot your wife or your neighbor or your kid or your dog. These are things that we learn as basics when we learn how to handle firearms.
Well, we're going to start to see more and more people like that couple you just mentioned, Ilana. That's going to become more normal, don't you think?
Oh, I do think I would like them to know that this is something that absolutely, if you're going to have a gun, get the training you need so that you know how to use it properly and that nobody gets hurt except the people that you want to get hurt.
Right, right. That's good advice.
Those are the people who are threatening you.
That's right. That's right. No, it's good advice, because what happens is if you're that couple talked and they thought they were going to be ransacked and killed and burnt down, and they described all of that. And what happens is the reason I think you're going to see that more and more across America is because if you're not prepared to defend yourself, Ilana, then what's going to happen is we're going to end up having a nation of victims, and people are going to play victim, and they're going to be victimized.
And there's one more thing I want to say, and that is when you're in a situation like that, your brain stops functioning normally. Your vision, your line of vision becomes very, very tight. You don't see, you lose your peripheral vision. Things start moving in slow motion, and you cannot make intelligent decisions about what you're going to do and how you're going to behave. You must have the training so that when and if a situation comes up, your body knows what to do. The learned reflexes that your muscles have, the muscle memory,
right,
kicks into action, and you don't have to worry about the kinds of things that they were doing that were dangerous.
Right. Well, what we're seeing now is we're seeing, to close this part of the conversation here, we're seeing gun sales rise incrementally every day. More and more people are arming themselves. We're seeing ammunition rise incrementally. More and more people are purchasing that because they recognize they need to defend themselves. They also recognize, as I was telling listeners just in the last day or two here, Ilana, like the gentleman I interviewed out of Charleston, South Carolina, what's happening now in a lot of these markets and cities with these, again, leftist socialist mayors is they're not coming, the police. The gentleman kept calling 911. And what's even worse than that, Ilana, not only did he think they were coming, but the 911 operator told the man, Ken, they were coming. So the business owner thought they were coming. And to me, that's a lawsuit with the entire city and everybody else, because the guy at that point, he's got his family in there. All the customers are in there. People are in the restaurant. And he strategizes and is informed that the authorities are coming to help him out of this massive mob that is trying to burn his restaurant down, literally burn it down. And they are breaking all the windows and busting the place up. Everybody's in the back of the place now. And that, to me, and not only do they tell him, it's better off, as I said the other day, it's better off they don't even answer the phone than to answer it and say, well, yes, we're going to dispatch somebody immediately, we'll be there. And then you don't show. And then you make another call, and you don't show. And you make another call, and you don't show. And that keeps happening over a period of a couple, 3 hours. At that point, you know you're screwed, and you're on your own. And then at that point, what do you got? So now you're going to have community forcing, and I think right away you've got this civilized society is breaking down, isn't it, Ilana?
It really is. And what you have is a defunded police department. You've got a police department that is not functional. And the terror that people must have felt waiting for the police and saying, okay, any minute, they'll be here any minute, and they don't show up, and they don't show up. And you hear the noise of things breaking and things. I cannot imagine the terror that they must have felt. And this is a dereliction of duty on the part of the police. I don't understand what was going on. I don't have any information about what was going on there. But the fact that the call center was saying they'll be there and then they weren't even sent, that is horrific. That is already anarchy.
Yeah, well, it's just exasperated by the fact that they're promising something they're not going to deliver on. I mean, it's the worst possible scenario you could plan or expect or not never hope for in your life. But here's what we're dealing with now. Now, this was by calling 911, by the way. But again, you're calling your police. What about your first responders? What if somebody's shot, hurt, they need to get to the hospital, nobody comes? You see, this is kind of what we're faced with now, Ilana.
Yeah, and that's what happened in Seattle, where they had this shop or CHAZ or whatever they called it. They had people who were shot and two were killed. And the mayor that you talked about, Jenny Durkin, I mean, she has to have her head handed to her. I just don't know what she was thinking when she said, "Well, let's do this. It'll be a block party." But and that was fine until it got personal and they started marching on her house. And all of a sudden, it wasn't okay anymore. So what are the standards? She's trying to say that that Black Lives Matter, when as far as she's concerned, Black Lives don't matter at all. All she cared about was her own comfort and safety, and she didn't care about theirs. Yeah, now CHOP at CHAZ and whatever else you want to call it, hell, has been dismantled. And all of a sudden she wrote an executive order, take it down. So, you know, these people are such hypocrites. And that's part of what we have to deal with. We're dealing with it in New York with de Blasio and Cuomo, and we're dealing with it in Seattle, and we're dealing with it in Los Angeles with Newsom. And it is so infuriating. And more than that, for people who live in the cities, it's got to be terrifying.
So if we step back now, Ilana, and to make this the most informed program we could possibly do here, we pointed out to folks, my America with a C versus the America that they're trying to create here. We've talked about how socialism fits into the picture. We've talked about how the education system has been taken over for decades now, and you reap what you sow, and this is what we've got because of the ignorance of many people over many generations who look the other way, and they kept taking more and more and more. Now, you've got the small populace who want to do harm, who really want to see America go away. Back to when you mentioned open society and all these groups and the hijacking of all of this. What they've done successfully is their objective is to create division and separation. And how they do this is this. Let me be clear with everybody. It's to pit American against American. And they're easy to do that when you're talking about Democrats and Republicans, or you're talking about black and white. You see, they're very successful. The powers to be who want to pull down America, which we've talked about for decades now, was never going to happen like Normandy, where they come on our seas here and storm our shores here. That was never going to be the case in America. It's right here. They have to be smarter. They have to outsmart us. And the problem is we got two schools of people of thought here. Now, this is where I bring it to what's really important, Ilana, because if we keep electing people at the local level, like this Seattle mayor, as an example, now there's a lot of these kinds of people here. Let me be clear. There's a gazillion of these, like the mayor, Jenny Dirtbag out of Seattle. Okay, Mayor Jenny Dirtbag. Yeah, that is what we'll call her now. And out of that mayor, there's a lot of those around. And whether they have a high IQ or a low IQ, they're out for lunch, or whether they're just, part of the socialist movement, or they're eating the Wheaties. Pick your poison, Ilana, but they're being used as a pawn in a chess game, no matter how you look at it. And they're allowing all this to happen. And now we've got the education system going. We got this going on. Now they've got Americans and these boneheaded people like de Blasio, who will probably go down as the worst mayor of a large city in human history, Ilana. Okay?
I agree, and I think his friend Andrew Cuomo will go down as the worst governor in American history.
Who should be in jail?
He should be in prison for the rest of his life. Yeah, he was responsible for the death of more than 6,200 people.
Yeah, and that's not a fib.
Elderly people who couldn't fight for themselves.
That's not a lie. That's an absolute truth. It's his strategy and plan to send all these people with COVID back into our nursing homes in New York. I mean, this guy is another one. So I ask you out there, how high does his elevator go up? I'm talking about Cuomo. How high does his elevator go up? Or is he part of the, where does somebody like that fit into this conversation, Ilana? I speak in plain English here. Are they stupid? Do they not have a high IQ? Is he part of the movement? What is it that creates a de Blasio to do what he did?
You know, I don't know about de Blasio. I think Cuomo has political issues that, color his decisions, and they don't have anything to do with reality. They have to do with his sense of his ego and his hubris. And I the idea that he is blaming everybody but himself for these deaths, when he was the one who wrote the executive order that ordered them to take COVID patients, these nursing homes, and as a result, more than 6,000 people died. You can't even begin to understand what was in his head, but whatever it was just evil. And I think it had to do with some political ambition that maybe he had. I just don't know. But neither of them are any good. They're not good for the people of New York, New York City, or New York State, and they're not good for the people of America. They both deserve to be in jail.
It's well said. No, I mean, everybody needs to hear what you're saying there. And we're not speaking hypothetically here. We're not speaking to be nasty. I know Ilana is not a mean-spirited person. She doesn't speak in extremist tones. So you've got to understand what we're saying here is the gospel truth. And we say that as passionate, loving, God-loving people here. And when we say, because I want to qualify that, Ilana, when we make a statement like that, people might think, well, boy, you guys are real hate mongers, but that's not it at all.
No, it has nothing to do with that. In fact, you know, what we're talking about is an America where people are free, where we enjoy the liberty to live our lives the way we want to. This is a good thing, not a bad thing. And it applies to every American who wants it. And the people who don't want it should, honestly, they should go to places where go to Venezuela, go to Russia, go to Cuba. That's fine, but don't impose what you think is appropriate, which is absolutely inappropriate, which will destroy everything we have. What they are doing, that's the hate. That's where the hate is coming from. That's where the destruction is coming from. And that's what we have to stop. We need to save America, and we're at a point now where this is no longer a theoretical idea.
That's right.
We are at a crisis point in America, and we need to save America.
Yep.
And that is absolutely at the center of everything that's going on.
We're at a crucial moment. And like you say, Ilana, they've been so successful in creating this division and the separation by pitting American against American. They've done it with race. They've done it with, everything. I mean, you had the Me Too movement, gender. They did it with gender, men against women, everybody fighting at the water cooler. I mean, they've tried everything. And they've been successful at quite a few things lately. And the biggest thing, Republicans, Democrats, the vitriol there. And then I just wonder, though, Ilana, with people like, you know, Nancy Pelosi and people like Maxine Waters again, but people on that level, and then Mayor, you know, Jenny Dirtbag, and then, you know, de Blasio and Cuomo and all these people, and you start to wonder what camp do they fit in? Because I'm thinking there are multiple camps here. There are some that don't have the intelligence, and then there are others who may be part of a bigger narrative somewhere. But either way, it's all going toward a bad road, which is America with a K. Now, we mentioned education system. So how are we going to change this? So right now, we're at this pivotal moment. In your world here, Ilana, in your utopia, what's the answer moving forward? What's the real rubber meet in the road here moment?
Well, if we're talking about education, I think it's redoing the entire educational system so that our children are being taught things of value, not things that feel good. And as far as the country is concerned, I think this chaos has to stop, and it has to be put down. And maybe it's going to come to violence, but when you get to a point in the country where the infrastructure of law and order is breaking down, that is a recipe for absolute catastrophe for any country. And I think that what has to be done now is that a firm hand has to be taken with these demonstrations and with these riots. The people who are tearing down statues have to go to prison. They're committing offenses against other people's property. We always used to have laws about that.
Yeah.
What happened to these laws, and what happened to law enforcement? This is what has to, I believe, we have to go back to an organized law-abiding society where there is law and order so that we can continue to grow and develop and create a good society for Americans.
Yeah, because in a lawless society, Ilana, we become the Wild West, and that's really what we're becoming. And West is appropriate. When we talk about taking down the West, Western civilization, it really has become the Wild West now. And I speak about that, people, and you look at what's going on in Europe, and you see what's going on in the rest of Western civilization, and it's not a stretch now, is it? It's not a stretch. Ultimately, you know where I'm at now, people. This is a fight of good versus evil again, because this is what you've got here. Everything's lining up here on the chessboard of life. That's what's happening here. And so it's more than just a warm and fuzzy little nothing bit or a statue coming down or a point of socialism or ha ha ha, she's funny, you know, or whatever. It's far more than that now. You're talking about the sanctity of human life here. That's what you're talking about here. You're talking about civilized society. We're at a really weird place here, is all I can say to you here. Listen, we take it very seriously. I take it very seriously. Malcolm does. And we take it very seriously at America Out Loud with all of our people, all of our experts. I've got an interesting piece coming up here in the next few days. I want you to look at it. It's about 10,000 words. This is a big one. But it's a timeline of the destruction of America through the education of our children. It's an extensive library, date by date of years, that will take you from, from 1885, how do you like that, all the way through to 2020, present day. And it will give you exactly what's happened in this timeline. It's a hell of a read. There's something to do on any day. Educate yourself, which is what we're trying to say here through the education of our children. That will be live on America Out Loud throughout the holiday weekend and just ahead here. You'll be able to get that. It'll be prominently placed on the platform. I encourage you to take a look at that. We do believe education is vitally important here, which is why we got that new show coming I told you about, which is called The Prism of America's Education. There's a lot happening here, but listen, we need your help. It's no secret we're trying to save America with a C, and we need everybody's help and all hands on board. And we need to educate and enlighten in a positive way, people now, our Democrat friends, our people on the left, the people in the middle aisle, the moderates, the independents, the blue dog Democrats. We need to get to those people, and we need to be civilized, reasonable, not calling them names, because if you start with the hate and the Republican against Democrat and the race against race and the rich against poor and the black against white and the man against woman, and you just see where this thing goes. It goes nowhere fast. That's what they want. That's the struggle they want here, is to pit American against American. I think I learned a few things here today, and I think I reminded myself as well to clean up our act, everybody. Let's clean our conversation up, our tone, and stop pitting American against American. Now, some people are going to come at us with force. Make no mistake about that. I know that, you know that, and they're going to do that. And some people are going to be hostile. And we'll just have to put them in their place the best we can. We can still stay in our world. We don't have to be dragged into their hateful world. At least that's what I believe. And that's what I do in my life, people. So always a big thank you, and always a pleasure to have Ilana Friedman. She's just a breath of fresh air and knowledge that is important. She's concerned for America, as all of us are here at America Out Loud. Help us, friends, get the good word out there and educate America as to what's really going on here. And thank you for being part of this mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud.